Well, come on, where's the woohoo crowd? Come on. Come on, a little more.
That was really nice. Thank you. So I don't know when Ryan said that, you know, your face said a million things. I had like five people look at me. I'm like, what the heck? What? Really? Thanks. But at least you know what I'm thinking, right? Tonight I do want to talk. The title is Take Me Back. Take Me Back. We sang a song tonight that said those words, take me back to my first love. I was reading in one of our Bible plans. I believe it was the actual Bible plan that we're going through the year on YouVersion, and we were in Romans, and the scripture, Romans 12:11, I listen to it when I'm getting ready, and so the scripture is, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And it's a scripture that I've heard often, you know, and so honestly, when I was listening to it, it just kind of went like in my spirit, and I thought it was going to just kind of like move on with my day and not, you know, it wasn't one of those scriptures that was going to be on my heart all day long, and I couldn't get away from it. And so, you know, things like your spiritual fervor, your passion, your desire to go after the things of God. So once it was in my spirit for a while that day, I began to take a spiritual inventory, right, and of my heart to follow God. And I asked God, am I doing that? Like, am I as passionate as I once was? Am I really going 125% after, you know, the things that you have for me? And he straight up, you ever ask somebody a question, you already know the answer? It's kind of like, what was going on? And he's like, no. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You know, it's not like I've been doing anything wrong. It's just that fire wasn't as big as I knew it could be, right? And so I just began to pray, God, take me back. Take me back to my first love. There was a game in the ancient Olympics called the torch race. And in the torch race, a torch was passed on in a relay race. And the goal was to reach the finish line as fast as possible with the torch still burning. This is where the lighting of the Olympic torch actually came from today, is from those torch relays. And I read that, and it really stood out to me because the goal was to reach the finish line, the end of the race, with your torch still burning. I want to do that, right? I want to finish the race with the fire inside of me for God still going, still passionate about the things of God. I want to fight the good fight of faith, as Timothy says. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. And then I thought, as I'm working through this process in my mind, right, well, I can't be alone in this. I can't be the only one that's ever, you know, felt a little bit behind on their passion for God. Because usually when we go through something, the enemy tries to make us feel like, oh, you're the only one that's ever felt like this before. But I just don't think that's true. And so as I begin to work all this out in my mind, God led me to this verse in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. It says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my namesake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the good works, the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you showed up tonight, and that when we open up our hearts, God, that you come in. Help us, God, to remain and go back to that first love, to have that fire, to have that passion inside of us. use your servant tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. So I read about that church in Revelation, and it looks really good on paper, right? I mean, I read all those things. I know your good works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. It says you persevered, you have patience, and you've labored for my sake, and you have not become weary. Now I read that, and I'm like, well, that's a church I want to go to, right? A church that perseveres, a church that has patience, a church that doesn't become weary. It sounds pretty good to me. But then the confrontation happens. There's one thing, though, he says. You may be doing all the right things, but your passion is gone. It's left. Verse 4 says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. How does that look like today? Well, you show up for Bible studies, but you've lost your true love to grow closer to him. Or you come into a worship service, but all you're thinking about is what's for dinner and what flavor ice cream they have at Blondie's tonight. You stand up for what's right so that others can see that, but you have a lazy heart in the things of the Spirit. So many life circumstances can happen for one to lose their first love of Christ. And that's what this is saying. It's saying you left your first love. So I'm like, okay, so now what? Right? Here's the problem. We have a problem. What's the solution? Right? I like solutions. Tell me your problems, but let's figure this out. Well, there is a solution. I love that. That means there's something that we can do to get back to our first love, to continue to be passionate about the things of God. If you read on in verse 5, it says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. Remember, repent, and do. Remember. So what do you do when you remember something? It means to bring to mind or to think about again. They were to look at their present situation with their former state, to think about how it was when they first came to God. And that's what we need to do. We need to think about our passion when we first said yes to God. Remember your love for God. You see, sometimes we have to look back a moment in order to move forward. It's like when you're driving a car, there's rear view mirrors there for a reason, right? You have to look back a quick second so that you can still go forward. As I was putting pictures on, you know, grad party and pictures, and there was moments in Kai's life that I was like, I remember that moment. But man, now he's moving forward. I remember that moment. I had people pull me aside. I remember that moment. Yeah, me too. You know, you look back to move forward. And that's what this is. It's think about what God has done. Psalm 143:5 says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. Psalm 77:11, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. Remember your joy when you first found salvation. Remember your excitement. Let's not get numb and comfortable that we don't ever put in the time and work that it takes with God. Just like with a spouse or a friend, we can't take God for granted. Ben and I had a 20-year anniversary last month, and I almost didn't want to go. I actually had the confirmation email up, and I was about to hit cancel. Not because I don't love the man, but I'm pretty comfortable with where we're at, right? So I was like, okay, we're good, 20 years. I'm like, yeah, we're fine. But what happened when we went away? There was a renewing of joy, of excitement, of love that we had to remember. And that's why we have to remember where we were when we had passion for God. Don't take your relationship with him for granted. Remember your passion. Remember your love for him. Number 2, it says to repent. We remember and then we repent. The word repent means to turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendment of one's life. You see, repentance is a change of heart and mind that brings us closer to God. So when we repent, we not only ask God to forgive us, but we have a heart and a mind change in the area that we are asking for repentance. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So we go to God. We talk to him. We tell him, God, my heart has grown cold. Tell him you're sorry and that you want that passion back for him. Tell him you let circumstances and conditions get in the way of the love that you once had for him. He's there for us to talk to. We can go boldly before him, the Bible says. And we repent of the things that we have allowed to get in the way of our passion for him. He will forgive us. He will help us through. In Acts 3:19, it says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Now, you may hear that and think, yeah, that's a great scripture on repentance. And when I read that, I'm like, yeah, that's a great scripture on repentance. But then I found out who was actually saying these words. And to me, that made this even more significant. This was Peter talking to a crowd in Acts 3. And to me, when I think about Peter saying those words, repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, I think, wow, that is pretty amazing that a guy like Peter is up preaching to a crowd saying those words. This was a guy who denied Jesus 3 times, if you remember. 3 times he said, I don't know him. I don't know that guy. Jesus even told him, you're going to deny me. And Peter's like, no, I'm your ride or die. You know, I'll die with you. I'll get, you know, I'm there. He just couldn't even imagine that that's what he would do. And then it happened. 3 times he denied him. And in Luke 22:61-62, it says, at that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny 3 times that you even know me. Do you ever forget something and then a moment happens and you're like, oh, yeah. You see, that was that moment that happened for Peter. He's looking at Jesus and all of a sudden he remembers what Jesus had said. And in verse 62, it says, and Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. In another version, it says, Peter ran out and he was weeping bitterly. Peter was devastated that he denied Jesus. And he had realized in that moment what he had done. And it brought him to true repentance. If you look up the repentance of Peter, this moment comes up. Because scholars believe that in that moment of weeping bitterly, Peter was discovering what true repentance was. And God forgave him. When Jesus comes back to life, raises from the dead, and they have this conversation, and there was a whole forgiveness that had happened that where Jesus was like, okay, now you're to move forward. I know your heart, you repented, and now you're going to be a leader among new churches. You're going to be a leader telling the whole world about who I am. Because when you repent, you ask him to not only help us get our passion back, but you ask him, say, get rid of any temptations that got me there in the first place. Come to true repentance in your heart and in your mind and come turn completely back to him. See, we want to be brought to a place of true repentance to get true freedom. And that's what happened to Peter. And then later on, he says those very words to other people, repent. There's a time of refreshing coming. I read the story and it put a visual in my mind because I do good with that when I can see something better. It says there was a man praying with his pastor at the altar. He prayed a prayer the pastor had heard many times before. Lord, take the cobwebs out of my life. I read that far and I was like, yeah, that's a great illustration, right? You get cobwebs in your life and you just want to get them away. And you're like, get those cobwebs out of my life so I can see you more clear. And just as he said this, this pastor interrupted, kill the spider, Lord. You see, many times we ask the Lord to forgive us of some sin, yet we leave the source of temptation in our life. You see, maybe there's something in our lives that shouldn't be there, and it's keeping us from being sold out to the kingdom of God. And we keep praying for them spider webs to be gone. I go in the dance studio and there are spider webs. Every day I could go in there and there are spider webs on the window. I've yet to kill that spider. And so that made sense in my head. Until I find that spider and kill it, those cobwebs are going to keep coming up. And that's how it is in our heart. Until we say, God, show me what the spider is in my life so I can get rid of that, so the cobwebs stop forming, so that I can see you more clearly and I can repent and I can have that passion that I used to have for you. Because that's what I want. Repent tonight. Ask God to help you remove the spiders and then make that change. Repentance is a change of heart and mind that brings us closer to God. In Proverbs 28:13, it says, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And we heard an amazing message on Sunday about the mercy of God and giving mercy to other people. But when we confess our sins, when we find ourselves in true repentance, there we will find true freedom and we'll be able to see more clearly our relationship with God and where it should be. Remember, repent, and lastly, do. Revelation 2, verse 5, what we're talking about today, it says, remember where you have fallen, repent, and do the first works. Another, the NLT version says, do the works you did at first. Think about that. When you first came to God, what did you do? Were you excited to serve? Did you just want to sign up for every ministry? Like, I want to do this and this and this. I'm so excited. I just want to serve. Were you willing to share your testimony more freely? You didn't care who it was. You were going to talk to the grocery clerk. You were talking to the people in the restaurant, you know. Were you willing to share more freely? Were your hands lifted in worship because you were so thankful and you didn't care who was around you? Was your morning devotion time steady and strong? Did you dig deep into the Word of God? Did you connect with a group of believers? Do the things you did at first. What did you do when you were first in love with Jesus or passionate for God? Did you pray? Did you witness? Did you fast? Did you study? Did you listen to any message that you could? Did you attend service, serve? Whatever you once did when you were once passionate is what we need to go back to. Your first love is found in what you first did. It's like a married couple. I keep going back to that. I still have to date my husband. He still has to woo me, right? Do the things that we did at first to keep it strong. And our relationship with Jesus is the same way. We can't just go for a moment and be satisfied. We want to keep pressing in. We have to keep doing those things that we did at first. We have to keep worshiping. We have to keep studying. We have to keep digging into His Word. We have to keep serving. We have to keep giving our all and surrendering every single day. Galatians 5, 7 through 8 says, you are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who called you. Let's do the things we did at first. Let's return to our first love. I love how God calls us to return to where we fell. Not in a negative way, but in the way that brings us back to where we were passionate about Him. He calls us back to that fresh fire of love to Him. He calls us back to take action when we first fell in love with Him. It's a call to return to the habits of grace. And it's a call to keep ourselves in the love of God. You see, maybe many of us have had a passion for something in our life and somehow we lost that passion. And a lack of passion, unfortunately, will cause you never to finish what you started, right? Let's not be those people. Let's finish our race with the torch still lit, with the flame still burning. Let's cross that finish line with a fire inside of us, with a passion to go after the things of God, with our passion for Jesus still stoked. In 2 Timothy 1:6, it says, I'm writing to encourage you to fan into flame and rekindle the fire of the spiritual gift God imparted to you when I laid my hands on you. You see, when we go camping, the fire doesn't stay lit on its own. It takes work. It takes stoking. It takes adding more things. If you don't do that, the fire goes away, and you're cold, and you won't be able to eat. But when you do the work, when you keep putting the logs on, when you fan that flame, you see, maybe tonight you need to rekindle the fire inside of you. Maybe you just have coals that are there. There's something there, but it needs a little work. Some logs need to be thrown on that. And you need to ask God to fan into flame that fire that you once had. Or maybe your fire's burning. Maybe you're so passionate for God right now, and you just need to continue to put in the work to keep it alive. No matter where we are in this walk towards Jesus, ask Him tonight to keep your fire burning, to keep your passion for Him so strong that you never settle for less than what He has for you. That we do the things that we did at first, that we're not afraid to worship, we're not afraid to talk to people about Him, that we're not afraid to dig deep into the Scripture, that we're not afraid to serve. Don't let your fire go out. Keep going and growing wherever you are in your walk. My prayer is that we keep that spiritual fervor serving the Lord, that we keep that zeal, that we keep that fire that we have. Remember, repent, and do the things you did at first. God, take me back to my first love. Can we stand together tonight? Let's just lift our hands to Him. Thank you, Jesus. God, I just thank you. I thank you for this moment. I pray, God, that you send a fresh fire. God, that there's something inside of us that just yearns to go after the things of you. God, that we keep our eyes on you, that you fan into flame, God, those spiritual gifts, and that you keep our passion and our fire and our torch lit for you. God, give us a hunger, give us a desire to go after what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Man, I feel better after being in here tonight, don't you? Give the Lord one more praise, would you?